Happy Monday, everyone. Today is February 1st, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. I want to thank everyone who's listened through our first 3 months, everyone stateside, also those in Australia, Canada, Indonesia, Morocco, Ireland, and the United States. But without any further ado, let's get started. In 1913, American all-around athlete Jim Thorpe signs a contract to play baseball with the New York Giants. Unfortunately, his Major League Baseball career was not as impressive as his Olympic career. In 1914, the Chicago White Sox and New York Giants play a 10-inning, 3-3 tie in Cairo, Egypt, in an exhibition game that was part of a special 56-game world tour. In 1948, Johnny Palmer sets a 36-hole PGA Tour scoring record with rounds of 62 and 64 in the Tucson Open. In 1950, Green Bay Packers founder, player, and coach Curly Lambeau resigns after 31 seasons and 6 NFL titles to his credit. In 1955, Hap Day becomes the first man to serve as Toronto Maple Leafs captain, coach, and general manager when he's appointed to run the famous Canadian NHL club. In 1962, MLB's National League releases its first 162-game schedule due to expansion. In 1964, French sisters Christine Gottschall and Marielle Gottschall become first female siblings to win Olympic gold and silver in the same event when they dominate the slalom. In 1967, the 10-team American Basketball Association, with George McCann as commissioner, is formed and lasts 9 years. In 1968, Vince Lombardi steps down as Green Bay Packers head coach in favor of longtime assistant Phil Bennington. Lombardi stayed on for general manager that season. In 1969, our first major event in NASCAR, in his first start in a Ford, legendary driver Richard Petty wins the Motor Trend 500 in Riverside, California. His previous 92 NASCAR victories were in Plymouths. In 1970, Rangers goalie Terry Sawchuk records his 447th and final victory and 103rd career shutout when New York beats the Pittsburgh Penguins 6-0. Both are NHL records at the time. In 1984, American lawyer and businessman David Stern becomes the NBA commissioner, succeeding Larry O'Brien. He held the position until 2014. In 1992, slugging outfielder Barry Bonds signs the highest single-year contract in MLB history at $4.7 million with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Also in 1992, defenseman Dennis Potvin's number 5 becomes the first number retired by the New York Islanders. Potvin played his entire 15-year NHL career in New York. In 1994, we're going to check back in on the Tonya Harding saga, because Jeff Gillooly pleads guilty for his part in the attack. In 1995, Utah Jazz guard John Stockton passes Magic Johnson's all-time NBA assist mark of 9,221 in a 129-98 win over the Denver Nuggets in Salt Lake City. In 1997, future Hall of Fame defenseman Ray Bourque scores a goal and an assist to become the Boston Bruins' all-time scoring leader with 1,341 points in an 18-year NHL career. In 2004, during the halftime of the Super Bowl show, the infamous Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction occurs. In 2014, Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning becomes an all-time record holder for MVP trophies, winning his 5th at the NFL Honors in New York. He's also awarded the 2013 Offensive Player of the Year. And lastly, also in 2014, American businessman and lawyer Adam Silver becomes the 5th NBA commissioner. And we'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today we're going to look at one of the best defensemen in NHL history, a man that was so skilled and so gifted and so beloved by his original drafting city that they actually threw a parade for him when the team he was traded to won the Stanley Cup. I'm talking about Ray Bourque and his time with the Boston Bruins and Colorado Avalanche. Ray Bourque was drafted 8th overall in the 1979 NHL draft by the Boston Bruins. Bourque made an immediate impact in Boston during his rookie season in 1979 and 80, scoring a goal in his first game while facing the Winnipeg Jets. Bourque asserted himself from the start as one of the best defensemen in the league, winning both the Calder Memorial Trophy as Rookie of the Year and a first-team All-Star selection, the first time in NHL history had ever achieved the distinction. His 65 points that season was a record at the time for a rookie defenseman. In 1985, upon the retirement of Bruins captain Terry O'Reilly to coach the club, Bourque and veteran Rick Middleton were named co-captains of the team. Middleton wore the C during home games and Bourque for the road games. Upon Middleton's retirement in 1988, Bourque became the team's sole captain and retained the position for the remainder of his Bruins tenure. In doing so, he passed Dick Clapper as the longest-tenured Bruins captain in the franchise's history, as well as passing Alex Delvecchio of the Detroit Red Wings as the longest-serving team captain in NHL history, a mark that has since been surpassed by Steve Yzerman of the Red Wings. Bourque proved a solid force for Boston for 21 seasons, famous for combining offensive prowess at a level that few defensemen in the league history had ever achieved. He was a perennial shot accuracy champion at the All-Star Game and a near unparalleled defensive excellence. Bourque won 5 Norris trophies as the league's top defenseman and finished second to Mark Messier in 1990 in the closest race ever for the Hart Memorial Trophy, the league's most valuable player award. The Bruins' reliance on Bourque's on-ice mastery was so total that the team was seen by many to flounder whenever he was out of the lineup, even though Bourque was very durable throughout much of his career. During Bourque's tenure with the Bruins, the team continued what would be a North American professional record 29 consecutive seasons in the playoffs, a streak that would persist through the 1996 season. In the playoff, Bourque led the team to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Edmonton Oilers in both 88 and 90, where the Bruins lost both series. Bourque was popular among Bruins fans because of his willingness to resign with the Bruins without any acrimonious or lengthy negotiations. He passed over several opportunities to set the benchmark salary for defensemen. Instead, he usually quietly and quickly agreed to the terms with the Bruins, and this stance irritated the National Hockey League Players Association, which had been pushing to drive up players' wages. The Bruins' record for most consecutive seasons in the playoffs by any team in North American professional sports was ended at 29 seasons in the 1996-97 season. The next two seasons, the Bruins returned to the playoffs, and in 1999, they won a playoff series for the first time since 1994. Despite a nucleus of young talent and high expectations for the 99-2000 season, injuries caused the Bruins to plummet to the bottom of their division, and they went back on track to miss the playoffs. This was further exacerbated by negative attention over teammates Marty McSorley's hit on Donald Brassear. With his career nearing an end and the team going in the wrong direction, Bourque requested a trade from the fading Bruins so that he could have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. Bourque and fellow veteran Dave Andrychuk were sent to Colorado in exchange for Brian Rostelson, Martin Grenier, Samuel Poulsen, and a first-round draft pick, which was the 27th overall in the 2000 draft that led to Martin Samuelson. Although Bourque played just 1.5 seasons with the Avalanche, he proved to be a force both on the ice and in the locker room. In 2000, he helped the struggling Avalanche improve their form and capture their division. During the playoffs, they advanced to the conference finals, where they lost to the Dallas Stars in a hard-fought series, with Bourque hitting the post in the last minute of Game 7, which would have tied the game after his team rallied from a 3-0 deficit in the third period to make the final 3-2. Bourque returned to the Avs for the 2000-2001 season and was named as an alternate captain. He led all Colorado defensemen in scoring and formed a solid defensive pairing with Adam Foote and Rob Blake, the latter of whom the Avs received from the Los Angeles Kings in a trade. Bourque was named to the postseason's first All-Star team, finishing as runner-up for the Norris Trophy. The Avalanche advanced all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, where Bourque scored the game-winning goal in Game 3 against the New Jersey Devils. Colorado took the series in 7 games to win their second Stanley Cup. During the post-game presentation that followed the Avalanche's victory in the decisive 7th game, the team captain, Joe Sack, broke with tradition and gave the cup to Bourque so he could skate with it first. Goaltender Patrick Roy, whose 4th championship had come the same day as Bourque's first, said of the Stanley Cup and his teammate, "A name was missing from that cup, and today it's finally back to normal." Bourque had waited longer to win his first Stanley Cup than any other cup-winning player had in the 108-year history of the Stanley Cup, having played 1,612 regular season games and 214 playoff games before winning the ultimate prize. On June 12, 2001, 3 days after the Cup victory, Bourque brought the Cup back to Boston for an emotional rally attended by some 20,000 fans at Boston City Hall Plaza. Bourque retired shortly thereafter, having set defensive regular season records in goals, 410, and assists, 1,169, for a combined 1,579 points. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe to us however you're listening to us, and follow us and like us on all social media, at Sport History Pod. Again, at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautix for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. And again, after this first month of this podcast, I truly want to thank all of our listeners all over the world for joining us. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.